With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and only a few hours left before the hex start killing characters off.
Ah!
Oh, God.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by the whole of the Fate Marked Five. Say hi, everyone.
Hi.
Don't laugh at my voice. I know I'm losing
David,
it.
David, the crack in your voice then was marvellous.
That was so good.
Is that, what's the name of that husky character that we had before? One of those three.
Cade. I think it's Cade.
Are we being DM'd by Cade tonight?
Oh, yeah. When he talks down like that. Yeah, he's going to be like, okay.
It's tea time.
I'd like to be DM'd by Cade.
There's a double meaning in that.
I know. That's
I think there
I
was just
it.
The one meaning in that. Well, right. Before I completely lose my voice, then let's cue the theme tune.
Oh, God.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative.
Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll.
Inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success will rest upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, with the party split last episode, I'm splitting the recap between the whole group. It's the word hole every time. Hole.
Are you doing this? Is it just to save your voice?
I mean, that's partly it as well. Yeah. Right, go on. Handing it over. Someone else read this.
All right. Gwendolyn and Juno waited in Deromanite House for Kasula's return. When she did finally arrive, Kasula confirmed the time of Timon's consortium tour before chatting in similes and metaphors about the party's dangerous plans. To aid in the task, Kasula gifted Gwendolyn with the Rose War Fan.
Ooh.
I know, it's shiny and exciting.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah. Before heading out to the courtyard to practice with it.
Juno, meanwhile, spoke with the house staff, namely Yara the cook and Kurt the footman, prying for details about Chargelt Hall. Both had differing ideas about the servants of the hall, but were in agreement that they were likely magically inclined. Kasula agreed to organise beds for the two of them, and whilst she did so, Juno, with Gwendolyn's help, used her cart of flowers to perform a divination ritual, confirming that Pellegri was being held beneath Chargelt Hall. It was so cool.
Well done.
You two have been so impressive already.
Yeah, just as I thought there would be.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, there's
wait
more.
For, wait for
because,
it then.
Yeah. When David's... I'm just giving this to the listener. When David sent this to me last night, I've had some realisations. I'm going to read this. Casula reappeared, having changed into a blue robe. And worried about the danger, pried the pair for details, which they willingly divulged. She left afterwards, and Juna and Gwendolyn headed upstairs, where Casula, back in her red robe, showed them to their prepared room.
Oh.
What? Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, oh yeah. My gosh.
Oh, no. Oh yeah.
Oh
have
no.
Have I slept? No.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh,
oh no. Oh no.
Just gonna sit over here
bad.
And sip my tea.
Oh no!
Who's the blue? Who is the blue robe? What are the theories?
The faceless foot.
I mean,
yeah,
that's our theory.
There's plenty of other arcanists or other people.
There's
that
definitely
it could
lots
be.
Of people it could be, but there's a footman in the house.
Go on.
And also, who would want to know about stuff but the children of Havoc?
Yeah.
So, and could the faceless footman be part of the children
I always
of Havoc?
Thought the faceless footman.
It makes sense. He's yeah. got they've got the skills, the sort of stuff that children of Havoc have. I know this is the recap and I'm detracting.
Yeah, this is the longest recap we've ever done.
But we've never been split like this before.
Oh, no.
It's been a traumatic...
Oh, no.
Never split the party ever again. Anyway, back on with the recap.
Juna tried to contact the other members of the party with her last sending spell of the day, only for it to fail.
Sorry about that. So where are you three?
Well, meanwhile, in the town hall archives...
The signal dies.
Photostone does not have coverage in this area.
Gaius, Enkidu and Orin were rounded up by the Arcanists to interrogate them on their part in the summoning of an illusory dragon. They were teleported to the holding pens inside the consortium, where they were separated from their belongings, then each other, and put into soundproof and magic-proof cells. Orin had attempted to keep hold of his Icebreaker's army knife, but was soon found out and had to hand it over, along with the homeward door key. In his cell, he got to work removing the toilet handle, trying to fashion it into an infused item.
Gaius, on the opposite side of the room, kept his mind busy with images of dragon pornography and singing lusty songs, should any of the Arcanists on guard be listening in to his thoughts.
Whilst in his cell, Enkidu kept a watchful eye on the guards and tried to decipher the workings and limitations of the cell he was in. Any attempt at magic was cut short, and even using his blood to mock symbols of sympathy led to no effect.
I mean, you really, really played into your classes, didn't you? In that episode.
We
blood magic, dragon porn, and toilet infusion.
Toilet infusion.
Time passed until, in the early hours of the morning, Orin was taken from his cell and delivered to an interrogation room. There, he was faced with Clain Iavet and a dilemma. The documents he had stolen from the archive needed explaining. To avoid incriminating himself, they agreed for Clain to alter Orin's memories so that he believed they had been shoved into his bag by a stranger.
Gaius was next to meet Clain, but was faced with a different problem. The Arcanist knew that Gaius had caused the chaos, and proof of a punishment was needed to be recorded. The solution was to mark Gaius on the butt cheek with a temporary inhibitor hex that would allow him some access to magic, though hurt in the process.
Oh,
yeah. It bad.
That was real bad.
Don't worry, it only lasts for 24 hours, and we're not doing anything important for 24 hours, so it's fine.
No, exactly.
Yep. Finally, Enkidu's interrogation was a joyful affair, celebrating his tackling of the dragon. Before he left, Enkidu tried to talk about the threat that Manius and his possible consortium allies posed, but Clain was unfazed with how that might affect the plan.
With their belongings returned, the trio were led out of the consortium, passing the monument grave of Adathal Chargelt as they did so. And that's where we pick it up. So, Juna and Gwendolyn, you're in the moment. You haven't been able to contact the others. What are you doing? You going to bed? Are you having any moments of realization?
Oh, sorry, I just was too busy listening to that story. I forgot that we were actually going to play after we were getting
Let's call it a game
on
there.
The last episode, I was like, oh, yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
That's nice.
Nice
to know what you got up to.
Yeah. What are we going to do?
You couldn't get through to them at all.
Not at all. It was like. They're not there to be communicated with, which is concerning.
Yes. Very concerning. You couldn't use messages when you were inside the Wingthrup.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. You think maybe they're in some place like that? Or some place magical?
It feels like they're behind a magical barrier.
Maybe they've already gone to the house? I doubt it.
I think we need to find them, yes? I mean, I have no idea. I mean, we can only go back to where they were. Or is it worth us asking Casula or Timon or Quince where in town could have this sort of magic barrier? I imagine there's quite a lot of places.
We're in the capital city. It'd be like finding a needle in a haystack. Mm. At least we know all three of them are together. Much better than one of them being by themselves or something. Like yesterday. Today. Mm. Oh, God, it's been a day.
I don't know what to do other than to send Ruana out. She could...
Maybe.
I don't know what to do. I literally don't know what to do.
It's fine. That is fine. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. I mean, you've used all of your resources for the day, haven't you, Juna?
Not all of my resources, no. But most of them, yes. I don't know if there's anything that's useful that I could do magically other than turn myself into somebody else. Hang on a minute!
It was Juna all along.
yeah, you could turn. I've just had a thought, Juna, with you saying you could turn yourself.
Me too, Gwen.
Are we realizing the same thing at the same time?
I think we're realizing the same thing at the same time.
I think we should just go check on Casula. Quickly.
Yes, let's go check on Casula.
Ask a question. We go out of our door. We go across the corridor. I knock on the door.
Enter.
Hi, Casula.
I'm just losing my voice, dear.
It sounds different. It's not Casula.
Killer! Don't trust her. Everyone sounds different. Don't trust anyone. They're all the faces.
Casula.
What colour is she wearing, David?
She's in her red robe.
Okay, good.
You were wearing... I like this red robe. You were.
Thank you.
You were wearing a blue robe earlier for some reason. Why was that?
I've not worn a blue robe, dear. I've been in this all evening.
Okay. I think... Let me just go out to the corridor with June for a second, actually, okay?
Okay.
Okay, June, so that person we told everything to in the yard... Wasn't Casula?
It wasn't Casula. Nope.
No.
How long has it been since they've left, Bebedee?
Since the blue-robed Casula left.
Yeah, there's been like a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, probably about half an hour or so at this point. I'd say.
do we try and see if we can find anyone, or find out if anybody has been in the house that nobody knows or something? I don't know.
Again, I don't know what to do.
Okay, I'll open the door again. Casula!
Yes?
Someone's walking around looking like you.
Yep. In the house.
Except with the blue robe. In the courtyard.
Right now?
About half an hour ago.
Casula is up and like instantly like marching her way through the corridors of the house, down the stairs, basically barging into every single room, having a quick scout.
Gwendolyn is like holding her hands to her head and just being like, oh my my God, you're so stupid, Deli. How could you let this happen? This is so stupid.
Juna takes her by the shoulders and says, you haven't done anything wrong. It was an accident. Like, you need to get a grip. This, Gwendolyn, is tough love. And she squeezes her shoulders and gives her guidance. Tough love guidance.
Tough love. Okay.
We need to not be blaming, and we need to not be feeling sorry for ourselves. We need to solve this.
Okay. Yes. Just following Kasula, marching around.
Just for picture context, I imagine all of that is when, like, Juna is, like, on top of a chest of drawers, I assume.
What, squeezing on the shoulders.
As Gwendolyn's like having like just a panic attack, basically, and then Juna's having to climb up onto some drawers just to calm her down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's holding her quite tight to suppress her nervous system.
Sure. Kasula's a hurried search of the entire house, questioning every single person that she comes across and like really looking at them and talking to them to see if there's any small reaction. Gwendolyn, you've kind of been a bit aware of like further decorum training. And what Kasula is doing is kind of in line with some of that. There's like, she clearly has spent time clocking the small ticks and the small reactions of everybody around her. And this very quick fire check of the entire inhabitants of the house is quite impressive.
Mm.
But she,
do we trust that she can tell the difference between if it's really someone and it's not?
She quite confidently is doing so.
Are we following round and see? Can we please follow round and see everyone that she's talking to?
Yeah, and even she even treats Quince the same way that she treats like every other like sort of house staff. Like walks straight up to him, throws his paper out of his hand, questions him for a little bit, sort of nods, gives the paper back, walks off. And she's being very blunt with every single person just to see reactions. And then eventually she gets down to the kitchen, down to Yara, checks her, seems to be unconcerned, but then says, has anybody left? And Yara nods and goes, yeah. A couple of the staff left earlier. Kurt, I think, was the last to leave.
That Kurt.
But he'd be home by now, so.
When did he leave?
About a half hour ago.
That's who you met, one of the people you spoke to earlier, Juna?
Yes.
How long has he worked here?
Kurt? About 2 years now.
You notice anything strange about him today?
Well, I mean, I was surprised he was in. It was supposed to be his day off, but he came in anyway.
Oh, God.
I mean, I never turned down the help, so, but yeah.
And he works as a...
Footman of sorts, like a houseboy. Yeah. He does all sorts. Like he does serving. He does a bit of cleaning here and there.
Murder.
Yes. Gwendolyn's just like breathing as calmly as she can and trying to remember Juna's get a grip.
Mm. Well, has he done something bad? Has he done something wrong? Mm. Run a strict. I'll let the others know and we can get him gone if he's caused trouble.
I wouldn't say he's caused trouble, but I think when he comes in, it's very important that Kasula knows instantly.
And I don't think the person that was actually in today was actually your Kurt.
No, it was Kurt. I saw him. I spoke with him. It was Kurt.
Are you sure? Is there anything that possibly gave him... If he wasn't meant to be here today, then I think he's was potentially the sort of person that can beat other people. We came across somebody in another town known as the Faceless Footman who could be different people. And if somebody's been in this house who can impersonate very well two different people in this household... I can't help but think it might be them.
You're saying that wasn't Kurt?
Yes, that is exactly what she's saying.
Oh. That gives me the shivers, that does.
Mm, me too.
I'm sorry, Kasula, I didn't even realise it wasn't you until just now.
She kind of nods and says, it's been a long day.
It's been a very long day. I mean, this is an absolute stab in the dark, David. Mm. Are there any, like, Kurt-looking tracks going out of the door? Like, I just feel like I would never forgive myself if we looked back.
Make an investigation check.
Yeah.
Sort of out back, like, sort of back into the back street.
Juna's multi-classing into Ranger.
Curb off it.
Or Kurt's got boots that have his like name on the sole.
Kurt was ear.
Or a tag in the street that's just FF.
It's an 18.
Ooh, it's an 18. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
get them, boys.
Whilst there aren't like footprints that like you can recognise as being his in any way. As you do get towards like the back gate and the entrance for the carts to come into that sort of smaller back courtyard, the blue robe has just been thrown beside the gate outside. It's just on the floor.
Well, anything in the pockets?
Nothing in the pockets. It looks like you get the impression it was basically grabbed from a wardrobe, sort of thrown on to help with the disguise, and has just been discarded, sort of smuggled out and dropped.
When the faceless footman, who we're assuming this is, changes, do they take on the smell of the person that they're taking on, or do they keep their original smell?
Mm. I don't think you've ever checked before, so you wouldn't know.
That's such a jammy Dungeon Master question.
Do you know what? I'm gonna do this anyway. I'm gonna see if it works. Mm-hmm. If I change Ruwana into a different animal, I can do that instantly, or do I have to do the ritual to do that?
You have to do the ritual.
Okay, in that case, I think it might be, I'm going to do that.
Sniffer owl?
You what?
Sniffer owl.
Well, no, I thought if I turned Ruwana into a dog.
Yeah. A basset hound.
No, it's like, yeah, basset like, hound, great
yeah.
Shout.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So I think Juna's going to sort of kind of start freaking out her own way and just like grabbing all the lavender and like weeding some of the roots that were left in the courtyard and just sort of burning up a fire and like clinging onto the robe. So that's what she will be sort of doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it takes an hour. So it's not going to be quick.
Yeah. Can you make an investigation check or a perception check with dog stats then?
With dog stats.
Dog stats.
Please let this work just for the flavor.
During this like kind of ritual, obviously Gwendolyn's been kind of trying to keep calm and stuff, but she will ask Kasula about, does she know places that couldn't be messaged during this kind of hour, saying that our friends are uncontactable, and if she has any thoughts as to where we might be able to find them.
She nods. She says there are a number of places that could prevent some magic like that. Again, I don't know as much of the arcane as I wish I could, but my understanding is that there are pretty standard abjuration-y type protection spells that can prevent someone. One obvious place would be the holding pens of the consortium. The consortium itself is largely protected in this way, I understand it to be.
Right. That and makes sense, potentially, having wing thrups in the consortium. Thank you, Kasula, for that information.
Of course. I'm going to set up a small perimeter for the building. If you could assist me with setting up each in the room, you've been trained in that.
Yes, of course. Yes, yes.
Yes, each individual room, and I'll do the whole building.
Okay, Gwendolyn gets to work.
And they start, yeah, lots of wires coming out from the two of you.
Security wires everywhere.
Yeah. Juna, what did you get?
Meanwhile, our natural 20.
Whee!
Lovely.
So we get to, even if it doesn't work, we'll get to know if this does work.
Yes, so.
True.
So Ruwana is back as a detective dog.
Love it.
Detective dog.
Detective dog. Ruwana starts sniffing at the robe, starts sniffing around the location that you found it. And there is some confusion from her. She can definitely... It definitely draws her, like, sort of the prominent smell draws her to Kasula every time, almost consistently, almost interrupting Kasula trying to set up security. But, like, the prominent smell keeps drawing her back there. There is, like, a slight other smell that leads further down the street, but she loses that pretty quickly, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, it was worth a try.
Hmm.
Absolutely. And maybe now... Oh, no, I'm not there. Oh, I'm back. Who knows?
Oh, no, yeah.
You're
in my head,
kind of like in and out of the house. Yeah.
Juna's like, come back to you, yeah. And she's saying to you,
I'm just as butter-brained as Gwendolyn right now. perhaps though now Ruwana has at least a bit of that scent, she might be able to pick it up elsewhere.
Yeah.
She might recognise other places.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you can do?
You're a good girl, Ruana. You are a good girl.
Oh, such a good girl. Anything? Yeah, Gwendolyn stroking, probably stroking even almost a little bit too hard, but trying to have a therapy dog at this moment.
Ruana's playing the part as well. It's Ruana like snuggling in, trying to be calm and just sort of taking it. Yeah.
Okay. This is great, actually. I wish Ruana was a dog more often. I love it.
I was once a powerful druid.
I know, right? I was once the witch in the woods.
Feared by all.
Stronger than the foundations of the earth.
Who's a good girl, Ninja? You were.
And I saved your life.
You're a doggo now. Yeah.
Gwendolyn takes one of the cakes that she's got. She's just been holding onto them in various pockets and stuff, and feeds Ruana like a nice crumbled bit of cake.
Can I ask what flavor cake?
I've decided, because I think they're like fairy cakes, so they each have different things, like a little bit of lemon, a little bit of strawberry, and then maybe like different color icing on top.
Cool, as long as it's not chocolate cake.
It's not chocolate. And she'd pick any bits.
And Ruana pops out of existence.
No, David, you can't do that to
Ruana
me as well.
Ruana dies.
Yeah, the ones that like, you know, would have like a gummy bear on top and stuff like that. The ones you have when you're kids.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fairy cakes.
I love it. So what did the two of you do for the rest of the evening and the rest of the night? Because you do not hear back from the boys until the early, early hours of the morning.
Okay, so obviously, I share with Juna that there's possible they're in prison, but they could be anywhere. And honestly, I need to go to sleep.
I think so too. There's not really much more we can do, is there?
The only thing we can do is make sure we're well rested as well as we can be. And
also, once I'm rested, I can try them again.
And we'll trust them. We'll trust that they've got this handled. Then I can tell them just how much I've messed up.
It's not messing up, Gwendolyn. It is fate. And fate isn't always good, is it?
No.
Light and dark. She says, her voice quivering.
Catchphrase of the day.
I'm not flying, I'm falling with style.
Let's get some sleep.
So yeah, the two of you do rest. You do fall asleep as much as you can. You lie there awake for a long period.
Yeah.
Before eventually drifting off just through exhaustion.
David, just a question. When we were in the cells, I did say that Guy was asleep.
Yeah.
Would that constitute as a long rest?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
So
I will say,
through all of the events. Through all of the events, everybody has now had a long rest.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, before we go to bed, can I just retcon?
Yeah.
As this was going to happen, and I feel like Juna would like gather herself enough. Before they go to bed, Juna would like to tattoo Gwendolyn.
To help me fall asleep.
To help you fall asleep.
Distract me.
Have a good
distract
night
you
tattoo.
With pain.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Just because we were planning on doing that,
oh yeah,
weren't we?
I
so
love
we
that.
Might as
right,
well
so
that.
We've we might just let a mass murderer in on our plans. Give us your arm, then. Come on.
Well, yeah, there's nothing more we can do tonight. And June thinks, well, at least if she emblazons Gwen with some sort of extra magic, that might help them, right? So yeah, she is going to tattoo Gwendolyn, casting ceremony, which David and I have sort of.
We've chatted about, yeah.
Chatted about. So using the Unearthed Arcana, like added extra, which means that you can basically give up a spell slot in addition to the spell slot. It's a level one spell. So you give up the spell slot of the spell that you are giving to another person and they basically take that spell slot off you.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
So yeah, it's
slightly
like
edited.
One spell slot for ceremony, the actual like transference of the power. And then... Again, to step away even from the Unearthed Arcana, we're going to say that the person that's been tattooed has 24 hours to use that spell that's been given to them. And when they use it, that's when Juna's second level one spell slot gets used.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So It happens at the point of casting, but it sort of channels from Juna through the person with the tattoo.
Interesting.
Does that mean then it could be any first level spell?
Yeah.
It's like gifting someone a spell, essentially.
Exactly. A one-time use spell.
She can choose when she casts it what level one spell, or do I need to choose now which level one spell it's going to be?
I think Juna has to choose when she puts the tattoo on someone.
That's what I expected.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think it's like one final, like at least something that she can do.
Like some act of control in this situation.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. So, yeah, what does the tattoo look like?
So it's going to depend. She's going to give Gwendolyn the choice whether she would like to be able to cure wounds or sling a chromatic orb tomorrow. What she would like. The other two are not hugely useful because one's ceremony and one is find familiar. she could have a cantrip as well, but I feel like they're much more useful spells given what we might be doing tomorrow.
Especially now the faceless footman might be involved. I think cure wounds. There's nothing worse than feeling helpless when your friends are injured, and I can get to people quite quickly, so seems like a good use of my skills.
So in that case, Juna gets out her tattoo kit that she bought she starts doing sort of little green herbs, like the type of herbs that heal you, and it sort of looks like a little ring of like sort of, I guess like sage, rosemary,
nice.
Like nettles, very healing kind of herbs, like a little
can I have
wreath.
It like down my wrist under my other two, because my other two tattoos are in circles anyway, so it's just
lovely.
I've almost got like buttons going down the inside of my arm.
Yes,
love it.
So yeah, great. that's the last thing that they do before they go to bed.
Amazing.
We're gonna look so badass.
You're gonna have so many cool tattoos.
We'll be like Hell's Angels.
Do they disappear when they cast, or what happens to them?
They disappear when they're cast.
Interesting.
Nice. It's like a temporary tattoo.
Yeah.
It's like a stick
the
on.
The coolest
except
of
you have
tattoos
to use it with a
temporary tattoos. Says the person too scared to get tattoos.
So, yeah, the two of you fall into an uneasy sleep. At about, 3 or 4 in the morning, early hours, the Abraca Lad lads are let out of the consortium.
Man.
What are the three of you doing? Are you heading back to Deriminet House? Are you heading somewhere else?
Dirty little stop ads.
Shame! Abraca Lad Lad!
Walk of shame! Walk of shame!
Shame! Shame!
Yeah. Guys, I'm going to suggest we like rendezvous back with the gang.
Yeah, that's best. And, they should know.
See what the situation is.
Yeah, see what the situation is. Hopefully they're asleep and had a more productive day than we did.
Where would they have gone to sleep? What would they have gone back to the tavern?
They slept at... Well, we don't know, but they slept at...
No, this is Oren asking, where have they gone to sleep?
Sorry, okay, sorry.
We told you where we were going and we checked out, and I think Gwendolyn had said...
Okay.
Try and get us somewhere to sleep there for the night.
Okay, cool. Okay. Well, in which case, the voice in my head is telling me they might have gone to Deroma.
All right.
Do we want to like stake out the hall as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've not actually seen it.
I mean, now we're up and about, I guess, what time are we going in? We don't really know, do we?
We don't know. We never really confirmed it. Oh, no.
We know nothing.
We know jack shit.
Let's go back to Gwen, because I feel like Gwen knows the answers.
I'm really sorry, I'm just getting a map up of Fallous Vale so I can check our geography.
We're in Arkenwell. The house is in Newford.
I thought
that's
we
right.
were
you're
in
actually not crazy
the Vale.
No, you're in Arkenwell at the consortium. Yeah, I mean, the town hall had been in
the
Vale.
We were in the Vale.
Oh, right,
then
we would teleport to Arkenwell.
Arkenwell, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, we could head to Newford and drop them a line and let them know where we are.
Sure. Oh, do we pass Chargout House? Chargout House on the way.
No, that's what I mean. Go to Chargout Hall.
Yeah,
they're probably going to be worried about us as well. So we should probably be quick, because they'll want to know that we're safe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Oren looks around. It looks like it's like 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can send them a note, but I don't know what happens if they're asleep when they get it.
They're probably not going to be able to read it, buddy.
Yeah.
Not unless you can do it, like, within their eyelids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my worry. I'm not going to lie. That's my worry now.
That's terrifying.
That does, Daryl, yeah, sound terrifying. I agree.
The words in your eyelids as you sleep.
Maybe.
Caps lock.
Maybe not, then.
Okay. Well, maybe we have a quick check out of the hall and then head to the Romanette house?
Yeah, sure. Hopefully we'll have enough time to catch up with each other in the morning.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, look.
Yeah, so it doesn't actually take you too long to get over to Chargale Hall. Basically, you basically have to make your way right the way around the buildings of the consortium and then down a few side streets. And yeah, it probably takes about half an hour, all told, if that, to find yourself in Newford Park and then to Chargale Hall. There are no lights on as you approach at this time of night. There's doesn't seem to be any movement inside. There are quite a few sort of bushes and trees and things around the space that you think might be good little hiding spots if you didn't want to be seen too much. Mm-hmm. But as for people, even at this time of the day, you get the impression that there are like there's the occasional person walking through. You get the impression that they're like an early morning workman, a labourer, mm-hmm. getting to their workplaces to kick things off before customers arrive, mm-hmm. even at this time of day. So yeah, there's the odd person.
A woman in athleisure listening to a podcast.
Exactly, yeah. there's the one
She's
or two
no
people who clearly have been still up since the night before as well, having a drink and that stuff, having a good time. But
yeah,
cool.
It's, you know, it's pretty sparse, but there's still people around even now.
Any skulkers, criminal contacty like? People in like alleys and stuff. Is it in like a wider? Is it in like in a secluded kind of like pocket of a street?
No, Chargale Hall is in the center of the park.
Right. Okay.
So it's basically just parkland around it. It's quite open fields, trees. There are paths, and like I say, there are bushier bits to hide in. But this isn't necessarily so, like. The criminals would hang out because it's right near
an official space. Presence. Yeah, so
exactly.
David, just checking as well. Are there any tall buildings that are near the wall?
No.
Okay.
It's basically the wall. There's not even any trees near the wall, and then the building itself is probably about 60 feet from the edge of. It's like 60 feet of garden before you even reach Chargale Hall itself.
Tiny. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Are we good, guys? Should we head back and see if we can find the girls.
Is there anything you particularly wanted to check out, Enkidu, or?
I think basic things are security detail, foot traffic, what the approach would be like going up to the place, and areas of entry other than the front door. So, you said it's in the middle of the park, right?
Yeah.
So there are no walls either side of the building.
So it's one wall right the way around the outside, like a big perimeter.
Yeah.
There is one entrance through that wall, which, as the others will have explained to you, sort of as you go through it, is magically protected. 60 feet of garden within the perimeter from the wall to the actual building of the house itself.
60 foot.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. It's a bit like Graceland. Yeah.
Mm.
And somewhere in there's the lion statue as well, isn't there? Is that
exactly.
in between the building and the gate?
Basically in the center of that garden. Yeah, on the main path down from the entryway, the archway to the building.
And there's no other side gate. There's no like...
Nope. There's actually no other view of the house beyond this archway.
Wow. So there's an archway, a walled perimeter, a warded door. In the house, but we can see the house from beyond that, so we can see
through the archway. Basically the archway has no gate on it. It's just an open archway. The only thing stopping people from getting in is this magical force field.
Bloody
so people can look at the house,
yeah,
but nobody can approach.
Yeah,
okay,
gotcha. And there's no guards patrolling, there's no like signs
there's
of life
no need
no signs of life.
Cool.
There's no need.
How are we gonna get in this place, guys?
Well, I mean, we pop our pills and wander in through the front door.
Yeah.
So the anti-divination pills will stop us from being detected by the ward.
That and the invisibility one, yeah.
I imagine the ward would pick us up even if we're invisible, so we'd have to pop anti-divination to get through the ward. and invisibility to get past any personnel.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, I should have explained. Yes. I had a look at the wall, and that's how it works.
Right. Okay, cool.
Cool.
Makes sense. Akilu takes a mental note of what the place would look like. And yeah, I think we're good. We're going to have to plan properly infiltration method.
Okay.
I'm going to look around, see if there's anyone else here in this part.
I don't think we can find anything else, mate. We've literally...
No. Just make sure no one's watching us. Do you know what I mean? We just walked out of a prison.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. Make a perception check, I would say.
Unless you want to give me an extra pair of eyes as I look around.
Yep, I'll give you an extra pair of eyes.
Thank you. That is 17.
17. No, actually, you're quite happy that the people passing through are not specifically watching you. Obviously, some people are aware that you're kind of having a look in, but nobody takes heed. Everyone's kind of in their own zone of, getting to where it is they need to go.
I imagine we do this just sort of while moving, we're just sort of walking through the park the whole time, never sort of stopping to be what's going on? It's just, we're walking through the park and on the way.
Yeah, exactly.
We're looking and conversing and we're just walking from one side through to the other. That's kind of how I imagine it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right, shall we go and find the Abracalasses then?
Let's go. David, on the way back, are there any bakeries that are just kicking off, early morning bakers? Any goods?
Yeah, I will say, by the time you're sort of coming back round, sort of the other side of the Vale, getting toward Plume Bridge, it's getting to around 5-6 in the morning, and some of those bakeries, the streets are getting slightly busier and busier as people are making their way to work, and some of the bakeries are open. Serving sort of early breakfast customers.
Guys, this one's on me.
I genuinely feel like I owe you guys, and my bad.
I mean, you asked me for a pastry and I didn't get you one. I mean, I was detained.
No, but I cast a dragon inside the library, so I feel like I owe this one. I'll get some pastries and then some.
Oh, no.
Well.
I must insist. I mean, I almost got myself killed on some fool's errand. And you asked for a pastry and I couldn't get it. I should get you a pastry. No. I must insist.
Okay, then. Don't twist my arm, but sure. I'll get some.
You save your pennies.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll buy Gaius whatever pastry he desires.
Aww. And there's a full selection of freshly made loaves, of buns, of sweeter sort of cinnamon treats as well.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got your pick. You can spend as much or as little as you like.
I'll buy a box. Let's get a selection.
A box of how many?
Stunning. Oh, a croissant? An almond croissant. Oh, stunning.
Stunning. with Prosecco in it.
Like a baker's dozen.
Baker's dozen. Nice. This kind of early morning baker's dozen will put you back 2 gold.
Okay, cool. It's definitely Krispy Kreme's.
Because they've just been freshly made.
Well, their prices decrease during the day. They've got a business model every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like an episode of The Apprentice.
Gwendolyn bought a baker's dozen at the end of the day, and that was a whole gold. So I was like, well, it's got to be more than that, hasn't it?
Very good.
Also, I make these numbers up as I go along, everyone.
Flawless Vale economics.
You've not written out a whole
economy
price
is all over the place.
There's a whole pin board behind his monitor.
Also, these were being bought in Newford, and Newford is
That's true. Yeah. Well, and if you're coming round, it's it's Newford, it's the Vale, it's Wolfwood, Plume Bridge,
the tourist pastries.
Yeah. Whereas Gwendolyn bought hers in Redwall. not Redwall. Wherever the Feathers pillow was.
I know.
Exactly. This is some Paul's Bakery shit.
Oh.
Yes.
Paul's. Yeah.
Definitely a Paul's. Oh my gosh.
Hummingbird.
Hummingbird.
Yeah, this is
Hummingbird.
They've got lots of random cupcakes.
Le pain quotidien. Le pain quotidien.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related.
as we get further into December and the frosts get thicker, we are in full swing with all our various Christmas shows and productions. We have the wonderful Daryl Bailey as the alternate in Yippie Kaye at the King's Head in London. We also have Ben and Vicky on the road touring the south of England with A Christmas Carol, with music by David Knight and costumes by myself, Grace Kelly Miller. You can also still catch me at the Vault in Waterloo in The Witches of Oz till the middle of January. You'll find all the ticket links you need in the show notes. As well as antics on the stage, the festive season comes with its own social calendar and commitments. So we're certainly starting to get a little bit busy here at No Small Roles HQ. With that in mind, this will be the last main campaign episode of 2022. But do not fear, dear listeners. We have a rather special treat that we will be sharing on the main feed. Last Christmas, we released a two-parter one-shot set in the Woden Isles on our Patreon. This will now be released on our main feed for all of you wonderful crumpets to enjoy. DM'd by the wonderful Ben Galpin and with guest player superfan Sam Oakes, it is a frosty frolic that we hope you will all enjoy. We'll be back with episode 67 in the new year, and we cannot wait for you to hear how this story unfolds. But for now, if you'd like to show your appreciation for No Small Roles, you can leave us a review on places like iTunes and Podchaser. You can rate us on Spotify. And if you want to give us even more of a Christmas gift, then why not consider supporting us on Patreon? We have a fantastic array of special goodies that you can enjoy over there. But for now, on behalf of all of those involved with No Small Roles, I'd like to wish you all a very merry Heart of Springmas. Big love and big rolls to you all. Now, let's get you back to the episode.
So yeah, you grab these beautiful pastries. And even though you spent a lot of money on them, they're like a smaller size, because of course they are. They taste great.
Thanks,
though.
Man.
It's all right.
Oh, I feel cheap.
Well, we've just established that they're rich, they're posh pastries. So yeah, of course they're smaller. but yeah, by the time you arrive at De Romanet House, it's about 6:30, oh, edging on to 7. The sun is fully up. Are you arriving at the front door or the back door?
No, we'll go around the back through the stables. Our standard. Through the back cool. approach, I think.
What is just, what's everyone's passive perception?
Oh, no, don't do that. I think it's like 11. No, it's 11.
12. Here's a question, actually. Is Aggie, what's happened to Aggie?
We didn't mention her at all, did we? What has Aggie been doing this whole time?
Three lads on a night out with a mechanical goose. With a mechanical goose. Walking over with a box of pastries.
Aggie was teleported with you, yeah. Got depowered by the anti-magic stuff. Was put in with your belongings, and so reactivated when you left the consortium.
Okay, so Aggie's back with me.
Aggie's with you, yeah.
Her passive perception is 16.
Whoa!
Okay.
My passive perception is 14.
Nice. So as you're all sort of approaching the back door of the Romanet House, Aggie starts honking. I don't know which of you is, like, heading in first.
Yeah, I'll be in first. I want to put these things down.
Nice, wonderful. So can you make a dexterity saving throw, please?
What?
We just walked.
Is this Gwendolyn's alarm spell? I mean, what?
No, this is Casula's alarm.
Ooh, that is an 18.
An 18? Oh, okay. No, that's all right. So as you sort of step through the back gate of the sort of the cart entrance, your foot like pulls on a wire, and instantly you're like, oh, this is a trap. You throw yourself forward into like a massive roll as this like silvery wire whips across the courtyard, like basically like tangles your single foot as opposed to your entire body. And like you can feel it almost like constricting the blood in your leg.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, yeah, almost like a bowler like having wrapped itself around you. Or at least just one foot, because it didn't catch you entirely.
Oh my gosh.
But you can hear like the ringing of a bell going off inside the house.
This day which... is going badly.
Gwendolyn and Juna wakes both of you up because you hear it very loudly coming from Kasula's room.
Mm. Okay. Gwendolyn will have known about the setup, so mm-hmm. I suppose she's... if she goes to Kasula's room, will she be able to find out where that's coming from, or would she kind of through having helped with the setup know to run outside?
I'll say that you know.
Cool.
Yeah, that you know to
outside,
run outside.
Cheers. Yeah, she's just like, okay.
Juna's gonna follow with Bloodhound Ruana.
Nice. And Kasula is up and out in the same way, Gwendolyn. Mm-hmm. Like the two of you basically in your pajamas, like don't even care. Like this is the mission. But obviously, as soon as you like arrive outside, passing Pip and Lord Crumpet,
Oh. There
are the others. You see Enkidu with his leg tied up,
and Aggie probably printing out a small bit of paper that says "caution, alarm."
Yeah. Enkidu right. has like one finger on the wire, trying to burn it with prestidigitation in the sign of small flame. One hand like with the pastries, and look up and say, "I at least brought." Breakfast.
Question.
What
is the name of my puppet cat?
Gubbins.
Okay, yeah, cut him down.
Okay. And Kasula steps forward and starts like untying Enkidu's foot.
I almost didn't remember that. Holy shit.
Ruana gives him a sniff as well for good measure.
Mm-hmm.
Sniff the others.
Yeah.
Hello. Oh, is this Ruana?
Yes, it's new Ruana.
I will give Ruana some scriptures.
Ruana is content that they smell like not the scent that she picked up and mm-hmm. lost.
Gwendolyn is imitating Kasula with the kind of the way that she was focusing in on the people of Deromanet House mm-hmm. and with both Gaius and Orin, and then she does check in Kido again just for good measure.
Nice.
Is she satisfied that they are who they say they are, David?
Yeah. Make an insight check.
Okay, thank you. I don't trust anybody anymore.
This would be some serious deep fake if, like, we're playing versions of ourselves that aren't
fake
ourselves.
Versions of ourselves.
Because I don't trust David. I don't trust any of you.
I mean, to be honest, Ben, I've done it before.
This is true.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I like. I just like turning up that paranoia within a party. Yeah. That's the best
That's
thing.
That's the way to do it. That is a 9, David.
No. Oh. There's something about Gaius.
This is when the Among Us like music just flows in.
Yeah, there's a traitor. Yeah, like Enkidu, you're pretty happy. Uh-huh. He's bought pastries.
Right.
He also passed my first test as well.
Exactly. Orin. Yeah, Orin's Orin. You know Orin. So, I don't know. Gaius,
play me a song.
Okay.
I wouldn't ask him to play a song right in the mood that he's in from yesterday.
Does that mean you can't sing anymore? Are you not who you are?
What?
I don't trust anybody right now.
What are you saying? What has happened? Has something happened?
Okay. He will pull down his lute dramatically, take a few steps back.
I'm glad he's a lute.
He pulls down a ukulele.
And will play his ballad of the dragons of the Song of Ice and Fire. Make it sweet love midair to all who can hear.
He's been playing this all night.
Gwendolyn nods, satisfied that this probably is him after all.
Annoyingly effective.
Put your scales on me, baby. Get it on, get it on. Cause tonight is the night when to become one.
I thought you were going to say when I get with a dragon.
Damn. Nice. Once again, Grace is a better ballad than
that's
Guy.
That's worse.
Yes, Kasula, I'm confident they are all who they say they are.
Good. She kind of takes the same wire, resets it up again, and then takes the box of pastries and walks into the house with it.
What?
She deserves the pastries.
Yeah, she's welcome to them. I bought them for everyone.
Thank you, Enkidu.
What has happened? What have we missed?
I think we should not discuss this in the courtyard. The last time we spoke about things in the courtyard, it did not end well.
Okay.
Come up to
Let's
our room.
Let's go inside. It's, yeah, it's come inside.
There, yeah. We take them up to our room where it's really cramped. Because at least that's close to where Kasula is. And we tell them everything. Yeah. Yeah, like absolutely everything. Yeah. Gwendolyn is, she's awkward about it, but she's not hiding a single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Juna holds her hand the whole time she's explaining what's happened.
That's quite the predicament.
Okay, so knowing this then, I guess like our timeline needs to be ramped up super fast. So...
Well, it's going to be as ramped up as it was. I know what time they'll be leaving for the tour today. They'll be
what
leaving
time?
At 9, and it's meant to be starting at 9:30, approximately.
Oh, so we need 2 hours from now.
Yeah, we need to make sure we're in position.
We need to get a move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should maybe make our plan here before we could be, you know, overheard by potentially the Faceless Footman.
Quickly, so you think it was the Faceless Footman. Who do we think the Faceless Footman's working for then?
Children of Havoc,
maybe?
This is exactly what I feared. I know my methods were wrong, but this is exactly what I feared, that as soon as rings disappeared, that the children would like start acting and moving.
It certainly makes sense. That's who they were asking about, Pellegrini and our plan.
Oh.
So I'm assuming they're aiming to get them out. One thing we have in our favour is they don't have the techniques that we have with the bonbons, but
did
who else?
You mention the bonbons?
Not at all. No.
Okay. Well,
we're
that's good.
Compromised either way.
Of course.
Maybe they've already tried an attempt to get him out themselves.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Oren, can you make a small history check?
Oren, me?
Yeah.
Sorry, not like I don't know who my cat is. That
no,
me?
The other Oren.
Yeah, the other Oren.
A small history check. Do I have to roll a small
D20? Just a history. Yeah, exactly. The smallest D20 you have, if you can.
Without a flash of genius.
Oh. 25.
Okay, that's good.
Make it a 3.
You have... There is a detail that pings out at you as you are discussing. As Gwendolyn says, you know, they don't have the techniques that we have. We don't have the bonbons.
Yeah.
There is a small detail that you distinctly remember suddenly from the description of the force wall. And that is that if somebody is physically somebody else, it allows them to pass.
Oh, no.
If someone is physically someone else, they can get through the wall. So if the Faceless Footman is, I don't know, the High Circle or someone like that who has permission to get through the wall, they can maybe just walk right through.
What? How did you know that?
But presumably so can we.
If we are physically someone else, not just disguising yourself for someone.
What about altering yourself?
David, what about altering yourself?
No, that only exaggerates. That only exaggerates the outside, unfortunately. Okay. It doesn't change who you are.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
I thought it seemed too good to be true that you were also giving us a treat.
Okay. Okay, right, so they can get in. But will they try and get in before or Petrogranius is out? Maybe they're staking it out right now?
Did you mention about the timing aspects to them? Okay, so that's more good news.
Yes.
So they don't know when we're planning on going in. They don't know how we're planning on going in.
But they do know how to disable the lion, as we do.
And they do know where Pellegrini is within the house.
And they know that we're here, so they could be waiting for us to open the way for them.
Yes, I mean, yeah, we don't want them to track us if they could be waiting. Ruana's kind of got the scent of them. It's not strong, but there's a chance that they might be able to pick things up.
Okay. David, remind me, the bonbons, how long does each of them last?
So you get 10 minutes of the divination one, so the anti-magic sensor, and you get an hour of invisibility. And it works from seeing the way it reacted with Klain, you know that it's more of a greater invisibility, which means that you can do things whilst you're invisible.
Amazing.
You can cast spells, like because he was reading all of your minds whilst he remained invisible.
Mm.
Cool.
Okay. Well, there is a potential then that if we're in... These suites, this invisibility won't last for an hour, so maybe we can take that earlier before we're super near the house, and that might throw someone off our scent. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we could also...
He says, looking at the dog.
Separate, but make sure that we're all taking them at the same time. And I know we're going to be invisible, so we won't be able to see each other, but maybe there's a meeting spot that we can kind of try and make sure, just to throw them off the scent if we've separated.
We'd have to disguise our approach anyway.
Guy, you have message, yes?
Do you have to be able to see someone to message them? Do you have to? Because do you? No, I don't know. How does it work?
That's a good point.
Do you have to know which direction they're in? If you're invisible, you're going to know where they are.
It says their general direction, the spell, doesn't it?
You point your finger toward a creature within range and whisper a message. It doesn't say you have to see them.
I have to see them. Cool. Fine.
It just says toward a creature. So if you're not pointing in the right direction.
If we were in two teams, one with Guy, one with myself, at least we might be able to...
After the events of the last 12 hours, I wonder if we should stick together for a bit.
That is fair.
I'm not saying that the three of us aren't hugely competent individuals, but we'll tell you what happened later. Anyway.
Is it important for now?
No, it's not important right now.
Okay. Well, we're on a limited time. Yes, I was purely thinking for if anybody is watching us to throw them off the scent to be separate and then come back together.
I just worry when we're all invisible, we're just gonna get ourselves in trouble.
We could just hold hands.
Yeah.
We should do that.
I just love the idea of all of you almost like a group of school children walking along with like holding your
arms. I also have been working on a new technique which might allow me to see where everyone is when they're invisible. Should work.
That's amazing.
That can be up and running today.
Yep.
Cool. All right, let's do it then.
Just me, though. So, and I mean, I can't message. So,
do you want to? If we're all going to infiltrate together, do we want to have a formation where you are at the back, Orin, so you can keep tabs of everyone just in case you spot something going wrong, and then there's enough time to kind of be flexible with our plan?
Yeah. Sure.
Also, Orin, do you want to stay close to either Guy or myself so that you can, you know, give us a poke or a squeeze and we'll say yes, Orin, and we can pass on the command, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah, I can whisper in your ear.
It would certainly probably give us a bit more mobility if we were maybe in a 2 and a 3, even though we're all staying together, but rather than holding hands as a 5.
Yeah, of course. That could get impractical.
And especially the moment anybody wants to actually do anything with our hands, we're certainly going to be...
Oh, yeah, that's true. The people in the middle will be really stuffed with that one, actually. The people on the end have got a bit more flexibility.
Perhaps we need some places that we're aiming for. For example, you know, we need to find somewhere in the park that we're like, okay, this is a safe place to become invisible. Then we need to know where we're heading as soon as we go through. I'm suggesting the lion, disable it, and hoping that will then... reveal some sort of underground place as happened with the Vondels. Of course, we don't know for sure if that would happen.
Yeah.
But we know that Pellegrini's underground.
What does the lion do? Remind me, please.
Kill us all if we don't turn it off. Like the dragon. The Vondels. It's exactly the same.
Orin
just a different
goes
shape.
Very pale at the description of it being like the dragon in the Vondels.
So why don't we do this then? Yeah, so once we go through the barrier, we go to the lion, deactivate the lion, go to the perimeter of the house if nothing else happens for us to see, like into a tunnel or a folly.
Mm-hmm.
We go around the house once as a unit to see if there's anything that we perceive as being a better entrance point.
Yeah, into the house itself.
But we need to go down. That's what we know.
Yeah. Totally. But like as a general plan, like barrier,
lion,
around the house, then decide.
Are we aiming to take Pellegrini out of there with us? Or
I'm not sure if we can.
I don't.
Again, what's the sweet treats? Why does he want to help us?
Well, Juna has Zone of Truth and Detect Thoughts, so he doesn't have to be willing.
I mean, we can try seeing if he's willing first, but if not, I will make sure I have those things ready.
We don't have the time to see if he's willing.
I believe you do have 6 of each of the bonbons as well.
Oh, so
play into any plans that you do have, whether or not that's for him or something else. But no, I think I said that you had 6 of each.
Can we only take one at a time as well? This is one question.
No, you can take them both together.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool.
But so I think what we need to do, I'm assuming, David, when we're in the park, do we have an idea of where there might be a good spot in the park where we could maybe turn invisible without sort of being
obvious? The three of you having checked the
in the early hours, yeah, that you've decided on a couple of spots that aren't too far from the entrance, cool, but are still hidden enough.
All right.
So we can go to one of those spots we found, pop our invisible bonbons, invisibility bonbons, and then once we're right by the entrance, I think we need to leave it as late as possible before we pop the other bonbon.
Agreed.
Yes.
We're going to need it to get through the door, but then the clock is really ticking. Mm. We've got 10 minutes from when we pop that second bonbon.
Yeah, sounds good. I think we got a plan, guys.
Have you got any way of have you got any tools, perhaps, Oren, that might tell us when that 10 minutes is up so we can keep track of it?
Does Oren have a watch, basically?
I don't know.
We should have mechanical watches,
right? A watch is a thing.
We've invented ice.
Have watches?
we should have invented a watch by now, right?
Yeah, clocks exist. Pocket watches exist.
Yeah, but do we have one?
Yeah, there's a table that can take you, like, through time.
Into tomorrow. Yeah.
So, there's, like, an army of robots somewhere.
But yeah, whether or not Oren or any of you have some kind of timekeeper on you.
Squints. Have a pocket watch.
Ask Azula if she has something, perhaps, just so we're keep. And then if you hold on to it, Oren, seeing as you can see everyone, or perhaps somebody with message, just so we're definitely keeping an eye on the time, because it could be very easy to lose track.
Yeah, it's a very good thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we see if we can borrow a pocket watch.
We also want to allow enough time to still be invisible as we're leaving to get a far,
yeah,
far,
now,
far
that might
way
be a bit of a problem, because I don't know if we're going to be able to get through without the... After the 10 minutes is up.
Then we need to get out before the 10 minutes is up.
Oh, we are on a really tight schedule.
We are on a really tight schedule. Yeah. This is why I say we don't have time to try and persuade him. We need to either get the information out or we need to take him out with us. We have no time.
So I guess the options are, like, when we get there, it's like, okay, we don't have time to ask questions. Sorry, buddy. Like, yeah, like, Juno's got a brilliant idea with, like, cast detect thoughts, da-da-da-da. If, like, then the last resort is... Fine, we'll take you out. Here's a bomb.
As loath as am I to suggest this, but I think detect thoughts would be quicker.
Unless we find him after 9 minutes of looking.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Like, it's about speed as such. So, like, yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, as a fallback to a fallback. Is there any other queries or anyone's got before we...
What do we need to be asking him before we go in there?
Very important. Let's make a list of questions.
Yes.
Henge key.
Yeah.
Henge key.
Okay.
So henge key, where is it? What does it do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is the leader of the chaos now?
Well, it would still be him. I imagine it's an organization that's able to run without him in charge. They just cause chaos, right?
Maybe what the henges themselves actually do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well. Not just the key. What does he plan to do with the key?
Yeah. Where are the henges? Because we know where one is, but do we want to ask about the locations of them if there's time?
How many there are?
There should be one north of here, if I remember correctly, right?
I'm still not entirely sure what they were using to power the Wingthrup's workshop wasn't a henge.
Hmm.
In some way that has been destroyed and utilized. And
I'd say the only one that you're aware of is the...
The Tillisham one.
Oh. The Tillisham one, yeah.
I mean, as
players, you know that there is one in Paladosa,
yeah.
But that, like, as characters, you've got no idea because that all happened in the Dwayne miniseries.
Did I not read something in the library in Rosthall about with the barrier marshes and stuff like that? Did I read anything in there?
Ooh.
I thought that was the reason why the conflicts on the borders were happening over the Orcar saying this is our land.
Or maybe that's something that we've put together as players.
That's fine.
Because I feel like the Witch of the Woods said there
are monuments around. You know that there are, you know that the Orcosians are arguing over something, and you know that like up north on the border.
Mm.
Because yeah, especially on the border, you've got like Orcosh trying to get in at the barrier marshes, but like because of the Aelish Drevane fight going on, they can't get into their sacred land. But I don't think you explicitly know that it's a henge.
Okay.
You might have been able to put that together because of the connection that's sort of been mentioned a few times between the Orcosians and henges. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think you explicitly know where one is.
So the other thing is, do we? I feel like our two arcane friends will want us to ask about his connection to Axissa and the Wingthrups.
Yes.
Because that's their main concern, isn't it? Like, why is she getting involved with Pellegrini? Like, why is he not just being taken to the holding cells in the...
Yes.
Yeah.
You know about the holding cells?
Story for another day. So,
okay.
So what's his connection?
Do we want to ask, given what's happened last night, something along the lines of, are they in cahoots with the Faceless Footman? I mean, we are heavily assuming this.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
We want to be sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Does the Faceless Footman work for you?
How many Children of Havoc are there?
Loads.
Good question.
Very good question.
And how many are here?
Here and beyond.
If the Faceless Footman is a Child of Havoc, you know, we met them in Rostal, so they could be everywhere.
Yeah. They probably are.
There's so many secret societies these days. It's like tripping over each other.
Okay, so does the Faceless Footman work for Pellegrini? How many are in the Children of Havoc?
What are your plans next?
He'll probably just say Havoc.
Assuming that you are going to get Havoc. Yeah, he probably would say that to all these questions.
Yeah.
But ask them, we must.
The hope is that when I cast Zone of Truth and Detect Thoughts...
Yes.
We can try and work around him, what things he's avoiding as well as what he's saying.
Got you.
Belt and braces.
Is there anything we want to ask about Malleus?
Juno shoots Enkidu a look.
What is his relationship to Malleus?
It seems from what you've told us from what your friend in your head told us yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And from...
Yeah, what did he tell
what
you?
We know.
Oh, no, he already told me, sorry.
Everything. it feels like it's more of a business connection and that Malleus isn't that bothered. I would say that's kind of the bottom of our list.
Yeah.
My next question is, I think we need to order the importance of the questions in case we run out of time, don't we?
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's most important to us as a group?
I think the henge key, because that's...
The henge key feels
most
important.
Where is the henge key and what does it do? Our first two questions, yeah.
I think then the next thing might be asking about the connection to the Wingthrops, because I think our two arcane friends are not going to be pleased if we don't come back with something like that.
Our arcane friends wanted to know about the henge key as well.
That's true, yeah.
I feel like if we're talking about the henge key, we need to talk about, tell us what the henges do before moving on to the Wingthrop connection.
Yeah, okay. Aye.
Just keep it in one ballpark. Mm-hmm. It might be easier, especially if you're kind of sifting through his mind, Juno, if you're kind of in the same.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is going to be really weird for him because we're all going to be invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad it's weird for him.
Yeah.
He deserves for the shoe to be on the other foot.
Yeah, but I wonder if we can use that somehow. There's just going to be a whole load of voices.
Could I disguise my voice, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh.
Whilst
we
I'm
could
asking.
All do accents.
Or someone else can do the asking. It's me that will need to be monitoring his thoughts and the Zone of Truth, but it probably makes more sense for someone else who's very good at imitating other people.
Gaius, that spell you cast, you can make voices appear from places, can't you, with that particular spell, can't you?
You mean major image? Which spell are you talking about there, buddy?
Yeah, major image. You can make...
Did you cast a major image in the library, guys?
That's not what I said.
there was a thing. Anyway, so basically I can like make an image appear within range, you know, and like, you know, it's completely real, and the sound, smells, even temperature and stuff like that. I'm a pretty impressive bard, I know. So I guess I could do that.
You can maybe conjure an Accessor.
Yeah.
Or somebody that Pellegrini might find a comfort to see. Dane, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
I also think the altering self thing that Juno and me and maybe some of the other people in the party can do might affect your voice as well, just in case that's useful to bear in mind.
I can do an impression of Juno.
Oh.
All right. Do you want some worms? And some other things.
Wow.
Oh, let me tell you a story. I could do that.
David? Was that you just speaking?
Yara?
I mean, I'm losing my voice, but it's not that bad.
Just, you know, like, because obviously I can't change anything magically, but you know, that impression was actually quite good.
Yeah, sure.
As an option.
Yeah, it used to make everybody laugh back home, so.
I can't imagine why.
I'm not a big fan.
Actually, I don't think you've ever heard it before. I should.
Oh, no. I in my head, like, everyone was laughing at you doing it, and Juno was like, oh.
Oh, no.
But that's a false memory.
What? It's a memory now. It's canon.
Are those our questions, then?
So what we're saying is, do we want a voice that he knows to be asking the questions, or a person that he knows to be asking the questions is sort of our last bit of the plan to put in place?
I retract my Exissa idea, because if Exissa's had him for this long, she might have already asked the questions we're going to ask him anyway.
Mm.
So
I think just keep it anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe we go in anonymous and then we can revise plans if needed, but...
Aye.
Like...
Agreed.
Does anyone want to ask the questions?
I think it's going to have to be you, Juno, if you're zone of truthing and probing into the... Oh, no, maybe no, because you are zone of truthing and you're probing into the mind, so maybe it does need to be somebody else. How does it work?
Do you have to concentrate on any of those?
Well, detect thoughts, I will be probing into his thoughts whilst he's trying to answer, is basically what Juno will be doing.
Mm.
Okay, well, if we don't like my Juno impression, then who else would like to use their voice to ask the questions?
I'll ask.
Can you do a Juno impression?
Why
do we need
Juno
to do a Juno impression?
I don't know. I don't really know how to do impressions of other people, really. Yeah. That's my repertoire's pretty slim.
But I don't think intimidation works on someone like him.
Direct.
That's why we have Zone of Truth. And Juno's mind's probing spell. So we don't have to waste time with trying to break him down. We don't have that time.
We don't. So the most important questions are, where is the henge key? What does it do? What do the henges do? What's your connection with the Winthrops and Exissa? And then if we have bonus time.
Faceless footman.
Yes.
Yeah. How many henges?
And just so that we all know, Zone of Truth is like the effect.
Okay.
So it's not like it's not against me. It's just the area of the zone of truth.
So you cast it and the effect stays
up. So I think it's
good
for someone else to ask the questions and Juno can do probing.
You'll be concentrating. Yeah.
I'll be concentrating.
I'm just going to throw an idea into the mix just in case it becomes important. Arcane cells, from what I recall reading at some point, have... quite frequently got like anti-magic effects to them, a book I read said. So it's possible we might get into this holding cell and find we can't do any magic. And it's also possible that I don't know what effect it would have on the bonbons that we'd eaten and whether it would dispel them. It might not, because we might not be detectable. Because we'll have taken the 10-minute bonbon that makes us undetectable, but spells and things might just not work in there.
If we're undetectable, can we go through the wall of the cell?
Don't know.
No.
The book didn't mention that.
Well, this is the thing about seals from my studies. You can break seals and end their effects. So if it's written or engraved on the surface, if you disrupt the image, you can effectively disrupt the spell.
If it was on a seal.
On a ceiling or a floor.
David. What time is it now?
It's getting close to... You can hear movement in the house as other people are having breakfast and starting to prepare for their day. Prepare for the trip out. It's probably about, getting close to 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I think we need to start making a move.
Yeah, let's head over.
But Oren, you raise a very good point.
Yes, I'm just saying that all our magical plans might go out the window.
And if we have to take him out of there, where do we take him to?
And how do we take him out of there?
I would suggest we take him to Clayne and Zerevir, no?
There's nowhere else. We can't bring him back here.
Do we know where Clayne and Zerevir live? And we won't be invisible for long as soon as we're detectable.
I would suggest we might be, in that case, sending them a quick sending or a written note.
Do one of us need to take the cart and make sure we're somewhere nearby?
Like a getaway driver. Yes.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. We should maybe, yeah. Is there a good
cart? No, we can all take the cart there, yes.
Yeah, we can take the cart over. There was a great cart parking spot when we did our recce.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Yeah, you know, there's the cart park.
The cart park. We'll put it in the cart park. Free parking
the
for now.
Cart yeah. park.
You should have seen this parallel park we did with horses. It was exceptional. Like.
Okay, well, let's go get in the cart and discuss any further things that we need to discuss.
To the cart!
To the cart.
To the cart.
Orin trips over the alarm wire on his way up.
No!
Deck save, deck save.
That'll be Gwendolyn's one in the room, so she'll
take it. Yeah, you all make your way out, down into the cart.
And on the way out, is there any watches or clock mechanisms that I can see that are easily pickable?
Yes. Ooh. Oh, yes, we were looking for a watch.
Well, make investigation check. I'll say with advantage, because everybody... Yeah.
Thank you, that's a 7. Much better, natural 20.
Yeah,
I'll give it to you. That's sort of, yeah, you, as you step out, sort of Kasuda's just getting ready. You ask her and she says, like, she basically says yes, goes back into her room, comes back with a small, your dad does everything, Gwendolyn, with a bloody rose on it. And he doesn't fail in this instance. So it's a little gold pocket watch, like a brass gold copper pocket watch. With the rose sigil on the front, and she hands that over to you for to take away.
It's a Cassie rose.
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be a better gag than that.
So yeah, she hands it over so that you do have a pocket watch between you.
Nice.
So yeah, you go down, jump onto your car, trip the wire as back it out.
Sorry,
it's fine. And make your way across town. Newford Park. There are a few spots around the edge of Newford Park that people have. Like pulled up and tied up horses, and there are a couple of slightly bigger carts there, so it's not an odd thing to leave yours. There's almost like troughs of hay and things already left out for horses. Aww. For people that are doing this.
Like, Gwendolyn is on high alert, and she's looking out for anybody who looks like they're following them, anything that like is they've met the faceless footman a few times, or anything that is giving me the vibe.
And yeah. And Ruana, in tandem with this, is sort of like sniffing alongside the car as they're going, trying to pick this scent up.
Nikidu's looking for familiar faces around the park, because if we spot someone we know, that's a red flag.
I will say that without making checks, you don't spot anyone that you recognise, but there is one point, even as you're like entering the entrance of the park, off of the car. He almost is like a drunkard, like bumps into whoever's at the front of the group, and it's just like, oh, sorry, mate, sorry. Couple hours left, though, innit? And then carries on walking past all of you.
What?
Can we grab that?
Wait.
It's a hex guy. Hex guy.
Yeah, it is.
You instantly get that. Yeah. Like, it's like a small threat, a small reminder, and he's like off into the crowd again.
That's not concerning, because he's in the park where we happen to be going.
When did the hex say they were going to start?
12 o'clock.
Midday.
Midday. Yeah, and I say by the time you get to the park, yeah, you're looking at like 9 o'clock. It's getting close to time.
I like to imagine in the music at this point, David, it's just the ticking of Guy's stopwatch in the background.
Do I get a good look at his face?
He's got that kind of face that it's so generic. Like, he's got that sort of olivey kind of skin colour, sort of hair that's just a slightly overgrown, but it's not too long. And it's that brown colour that is like, you literally couldn't pick him out of a crowd.
Okay.
He's the perfect kind of look for somebody who just wants to make a point.
A kid who commits his face to memory so I can cut his head off when he sees him.
So yeah, you all make your way toward sort of the desired hiding spot, as it were. Like, almost just off the little beaten path. It's like a little outcropping of trees and bushes that you jump behind, that is fully enclosed.
Can we see the house from here? Like, can we see the entrance to the house from here?
Yeah, I'll say, yeah, the choice of spot was because, yeah, it's a good hiding place, but also it's really close. That if you were to take the bonbons here, you're actually not too far away for just running in.
Great.
Even at this time of the morning, you can see that there is a small crowd of tourists stood at that.
Of course there are.
Stood at the entrance, already having a nose.
Okay.
Let's begin.
Will they notice us from, you know, if we're invisible and we're trying to barge through a crowd?
Does it look like we can weave a path through folks?
It looks like you might have to push a few people.
Ooh. I can create a distraction.
I was going to
No.
I was going to cast a gust of wind. Just a small gust of wind.
Oh, can we send Ruana in? I was going to send her sort of to the perimeter to keep an eye out for the faceless footman so she can sort of go ahead of us and try and like dog through.
Oh, can you make a distraction that will gently distract a crowd? Maybe a celebrity or... free money, money being thrown. Some I don't know.
What do the people look like in the crowd?
Nothing too distracting, because you know that would obviously cause suspicion, and would put us.
Yeah, we wouldn't make anything big and outlandish.
No, just distracting enough.
Guy elbows him in the ribs.
I'm gonna send a gust of wind.
Mm-hmm.
Into the crowd, so that someone just kind of falls into someone. So there's a little, like, just it's not powerful anyway, just the...
Mm-hmm.
And maybe...
Just enough that there's a bit more of a tussle between them. Yeah, okay, cool.
Are we waiting also to see if Petrogranius or anyone is leaving as well, maybe before we put that destruction into place?
Yeah, what's the time on Gaius?
Because they're meant to, the tour starts at 9:30.
Yeah, so she should be leaving the house.
She should have left, but I don't know what we can see, David.
You're welcome to wait.
What's the time currently?
What is the current time?
It's around 9:00. It's just after.
David, I have a watch. What's the exact time?
It's true. All right, it's 7 minutes. 7 minutes past nine.
Oh.
And what can we see from within the house?
There's no movement from within the house.
Let's go.
Fist bumps all around.
The tour doesn't start until 9:30. So, for example, if they're teleporting or something like that, she may be staying in her home until exactly 9:30. So we shouldn't try before 9:30.
I think if we know the tour starts at 9:30, that's when we begin.
Okay.
Okay.
Juno agrees, but I can see David on Zoom.
I know.
And it's like, so horrible.
But if the tour starts at 9:30, they would already be in place to guard and watch out and prepare for his visits, right? She wouldn't just rock up at the same time as Tymon. She'd be there already, right?
We don't know what type of person she's like.
Yeah.
If she's got the magic that can just be, I'm there exactly when I need to be, then why would you?
The point is that we're meant to be non-detectable. So if we're going in like 15 minutes before she's assumedly on commute, you know what I mean? That's fine. You know, like if we're like it's 9:07, we leave here, we pop the bonbons in at like 9:15, boom, that's when we go.
Is there any kind of like flag or kind of notice to say, you know, like how Buckingham Palace is a half mess if the monarch is in, or a sign saying, "Oh, Archimedes, nothing,
little slidey whip thing."
And again, from the look the day before, and even the double check the during the night just now, all of the curtains have consistently been closed in the house as well.
I'm just saying, if we know exactly the time that the tour starts. And we go in earlier and we risk her being there, then what's the point of even being waiting this long anyway?
What's the harm in waiting 23 minutes now? Oh, 22.
And unless the faceless footman gets before us.
Yeah, has already been, or maybe they're inside right now because they know they know important details about
it. If they could get in past Petra before, then they would have done it last night. They would have done it and it would be gone.
That's true.
They've had 8 hours. What's another 20 minutes.
They're having minutes. 8 hours and waiting for the opportune moment, which is around this time when they
The opportune
they know,
moment is 9:30.
The opportune moment is around this time now.
Gwendolyn is right. What happens if we get in there and she is there by the cell? What happens if that happens?
Then we only have 10 minutes. The time is so precious that if we throw this out of balance, we've completely lost our moment.
It already is, though.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm convinced. I think we wait for the 9:28 moment, and then we go in.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Trust, buddy. Come on.
We trusted you. Trust us.
Enkidu. What? Why do you want to go in now? Tell us your reasoning.
Yes.
Just
tell us
the fact that we had a good plan, and someone else, an opposing force, knows it. So that's already thrown.
They don't know the time that we're going in, though.
The time.
Yeah, the time.
They don't know the time. You're right. But
they don't know the time.
No. What I'm asking, Enkidu, is why do you think we should go in now rather than at 9:30?
Just in case someone's already gone in and they're already on high alert. Damn you, David.
For our listeners, David's just shown us a phone that shows exactly 909.
We're so
playing in real
track.
Time, kids.
Yeah, it's in real time, guys. Yeah.
Okay.
It's only a 20-minute wait now, so it's fine.
If they're in, they're already in.
Yeah.
But Petrogranius is still potentially there.
Look, if we see someone walking in through the front door, then fine, let's move. But we can keep an eye on the front door from here.
We don't know they can be invisible, but we know that we can change who they look like.
Yeah. So if anyone is wandering in, fine, fair enough. They're on their way in, potentially. But if we don't see that, look, you've got to forge the anvil before you swing the hammer. That's all I'm saying.
All right, if you guys all want to wait, I will wait.
Thank you.
All right. And I will spy any potential tourists that they're leaning towards going in.
I like to imagine that then the next 18 silence. Minutes is complete silence from all of you.
Yeah. It's terrible.
The pure concentration.
Also,
attention.
On the off chance that this dog is going to pick up some scent, I think, like, Ruan has been set free into the crowd.
Where is Aggie?
Sort of sniffing around.
Do we have a giant goose in the bushes?
No, so
with us?
Aggie,
that's
she's
a great
not
question.
Giant.
5 feet.
She's the size of a teapot.
So Orin is
same size of a normal teapot.
Yeah, and she's going to go in Orin's bag. So she's just going to be
okay.
She's going to be in his bag, not making any noise, not doing anything. I'm assuming if she's on my possession, in my bag, David, she will.
She'll count as an object that turns invisible along with
you. As a carried item. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And for the record, Ruana's not coming in with us. She's staying outside.
Cool. She's being lookout on the outside.
Yeah, she's just sort of keeping having a sniff around to just on the off chance that she can pick something up.
But yeah, I won't be getting Aggie out in there because she will turn visible, I assume, as soon as she leaves my back. So she can stay in there and that'll be fine.
Yeah. How far are the people, the tourists from us? If they turn around, would they see like five people just crashing?
We're covered by bush, aren't we?
Yeah. No. No, you're pretty well camouflaged, I'd say. Yeah, you've made sure that you cannot be seen.
I like to imagine an occasional dog that's having a walk in the park just like wanders into the bush. And is like,
I was wondering if I should risk pass without a trace now or just leave it and see if we as long as we stay still, we're not drawing attention to ourselves.
But yeah, you're probably about 100 feet from the entrance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So like unless anybody's specifically looking towards you, they're not going to see you.
How long's Pass Without a Trace last?
An hour.
Might be worth having anyway.
Yeah. Let me double check that, but I'm pretty sure it's an hour.
I mean, that feels like a handy thing to have when we're sneaking into a house. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Will only affect the people close to Enkidu.
Yeah, 30 feet.
Well, we're going to try and stay as close to each other.
We're
going
to try and stay close to each other, aren't we?
Yes, that's true. That's true.
I'm so nervous about this. Oh, my God.
1 hour concentration.
During this time, like, Gwendolyn...
1 hour concentration.
I'm not going to tie myself to somebody. That's silly, isn't it? Yeah, silly.
Is it worth using your magic for that? This is a genuine question, because if it is, do it.
To me?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just that risk if I have to cast it again. But we have an hour time frame anyway, so this is the one use is what we'll need. So, yeah, I'll...
Coggy's arm has always seemed completely reliable so far.
Yeah. For a prototype, Enkidu twitches, clasps his hands together and casts Pass Without a Trace with the armor of shadows.
Nice. So yeah, there's this like this silvery glow, this rush of smoke, and then the darkness kind of clings in around all of you. A
in broad daylight.
Hidden in our trees.
In your trees. It gets to 28 past.
We pop the invisibility bonbons.
Yeah.
Get closer,
and we can keep like touching each other, like we can keep tapping each other so we know where we are.
Yeah.
Lauren can see us.
Yeah.
And Guy and I can message each other. Well, everyone. And
Gaius is gonna just like tap his feet and do a little bit of a body percussion with his fingers, and then he will like bardically inspire Enkidu.
Okay. Aww. Cheers.
Amazing.
Okay. Let's make sure we have the other ones at the ready.
Yes.
But we're in and get as close as we can, and then when Enkidu does the distraction, we take our moment.
Yeah, I would say pop your second bonbon as near to the gate as you can physically manage.
We leave the bush.
Yep.
Who's got the spare bonbons, by the way, just so we know? Feel like that's an important bit of information to decide.
Which I didn't describe when you I assume, like, well, the organisation of handing out the bonbons.
sort of, you basically got one in each hand. Yeah.
But we've got one spare of each.
The spare. Yeah, one spare of each. Yeah, who was holding onto the...
I mean, I'm not going to be handling anything magic, so I can...
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you've got the spares.
Okay, she's got them in a very accessible place.
Yeah. As you eat the first one, the invisibility, it tastes like almost like bitter strawberry.
Ooh.
Quite a tart strawberry taste. But then, yeah, each of you eating it, you feel this flavour kind of spread down the back of your throat. And then almost from the neck downwards, the invisibility spreads down and up at the same time for each of you to disappear. Ooh. Until it like reaches your fingertips.
Can we see ourselves?
No, you can't even see your own feet.
Wow. This is really cool.
Obviously, you've got the sense of, like, I know where my hand is if I close my eyes. It's that kind of feeling. But if you look down, you're not there.
We've only got proprioception, is what you're saying.
What?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Wow.
Your awareness of yourself in the space.
That's cool. I did not know that. Yeah. That's cool.
Okay. You've got proprioception.
Great word.
Yeah, that's a great word.
I do like dropping that word. <That's>... I learned it last year.
So you make your way across, and yeah, there is a small crowd there. The sort of the people have been constantly changing as you go.
I will also, as after I've had 10 seconds of being, invisibility is cool, I will then pull down my goggles, and I will attune them to see invisibility. Please.
That is so good. That is so good. Nice. That is an abracalad move. Mm.
So yes, I will then see myself and everyone else.
What embarrassing things are everybody doing as you explore your invisible bodies?
Gwendolyn is wedging the bonbons down the top of her dress. Like, yeah, she's just snuggling it in the cleavage.
And Keely's like preparing semantic movements for prestidigitation.
Gaius is like pulling up his trousers, bracing himself, and revealing a little bit of male camel toe.
Oh, man.
Juna's having a nice feel over all of her body parts.
What? Just check.
Like
they're
sort
still
of feeling
there.
Herself, yeah. So you sort of see her rub her hands over her, like tit, bum, bits, but yeah, just sort of feeling it.
Love it,
Orin. This is the sight that you're greeted with. It's
and because Juna's old, it's all a bit rippling.
Oh man!
It'll happen to us all.
Yep.
Oh yeah. If we're lucky.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
So you make your way across, and Kilu lets off this prestidigitation with a gust of wind sort of catching somebody's skirt and like pulling them into the person nearby. Ruana comes like yapping across the front, and there's just enough of a commotion in the small crowd that's there that all of you, there's a little bit of bumping, but nobody notices as you walk straight through the archway.
God, I want to pickpocket so bad.
After we've taken the other bonbon.
Oh, we've taken the bonbons. That happens in this chaos. Yeah. But that's where we're going to end the episode.
Yes.
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 Oh, man. Oh.
It's going to be such a good next episode.
Oh, my God.
This is... We are so...
Goodness me.
So far.
No, we're not. We're the best.
Honestly, I genuinely, so like, if we'd gone in there whilst Petra was still in there, what's the point?
We got this game.
Who's to say that she's not still in there?
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.